If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Yep, we're getting down to business, all right. It's 8 minutes after 7 o'clock. And if you've just joined us, we are in conversation with Charles Savage, CEO of Purple Group. If you're not familiar with the company, anything to do with GT247 Rise, which also focuses primarily on retirement savings, but more so easy equities and the various umbrella companies that they have under them. This is essentially the organization that takes care of many of these brands. Charles, such a pleasure to see you and speak to you.
So lucky to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, lovely. Usually when I talk to you, it's always about company results and Purple Group, how you've been performing, assets under management. In simplified terms, without getting into the metrics, what's 2024 been like for you doing business in South Africa?
It's been, if you like, and that's an old kind of adage, but it's been a game of two halves. Yeah. You know, you've got a prior, you know, South Africa pre-elections and then South Africa post-elections. And I've never seen sentiment like we're seeing now around South Africa. You know, there are people returning home, there's capital returning home, and there's a positivity that I could, and an energy that I feel in the country that I haven't felt since 94.
Wow.
And, you know, I think that's a reflection of all the hard work that's been done in this coalition government, but also, you know, the two decades that have been forged since apartheid. And so we've, you know, Purple Group's had a wonderful year. And so on top of all of that energy, we've had a great year and just feeling incredibly positive, not just about our business, but about the country as well.
Exactly. I'm so keen to understand as well how business continues to interact with government, regulators as well, especially given the space that you're in, managing people's money and essentially democratizing access to investment for so many people. We have very strict and tight regulations in South Africa, but there's also this beautiful level of camaraderie that does take place between stakeholders. Add some color and detail to this.
Yeah, South Africa's capital markets are probably the best regulated emerging market in the world. And it's almost hard to give us emerging market label because our capital markets are first world. Mm-hmm. And they're first world because the regulatory environment is so strong. And, you know, that regulatory environment is a marriage between business and government. And so South Africa, over, you know, decades and decades, has forged a very strong capital market infrastructure, which is then supported not just by government and regulation, but business. Business has been incredibly innovative, built world's kind of first services. If you think about banking sector, it's standout. And if you keep going through the financial, you know, all through the financial sector, you'll see world standouts, companies that are capable of standing on a world stage. So, you know, South Africa has held its head proud. It's created an extraordinary depth in its capital markets, but also a breadth of services which looks after institutional money and today also the man in the street and everything in between.
Definitely. Let's talk about the man in the street. Easy Equities, 2014 was when it was officially launched and really trying to offer ordinary South Africans an opportunity to own a piece of the stock market. I think you've come a long way since this company was initially birthed.
Yeah, a decade just makes me feel old because I've obviously been around it since then. But if you think about business in a decade and just contextualize it, you're really at the start of your journey. Mm. And what we've managed to achieve in a relatively short period of time is, one, we've got to 1 million customers now,
which is huge.
Yeah, it's huge. And in the context of South Africa, it's a small number. You know, there's 60 million of us, and so 1 million isn't enough. But in the context of investing, when we started, there were only 250,000 investors on the whole of the JSE. You know, so we've quadrupled that from a retail perspective. So in a decade, we've increased the number of retail participation by 400%. And as I said, and we just feel like we're getting started. The momentum's growing. We've also, in that decade, forged incredible partnerships with some of the biggest brands in South Africa, you know, whether that's Telkom that we've partnered, Capitec Bank, yes. Discovery Bank, Satrix and Sanlam. And so we've now got access to 65 to 70% of all South Africans through these awesome partnership rails. And in the same time, we started off as a one-trick pony that all we did was allow you to buy South African shares 10 years ago. And today you can buy South African shares, US shares, Australian shares, European shares, UK shares, and pretty much, you know, a world of opportunities. You can buy crypto, you can buy property,
yeah.
You can invest in unit trusts, you can buy FX, so buy rands and dollars, and a whole lot of things in between. So if you reflect on that decade, we've done a lot in a short period of time, but I'd really do, you know, looking back, which birthdays are always an opportunity for me to look back, I'm very proud of what we've achieved. And, you know, I summarize it. We've kind of won the Currie Cup 10 years in a row.
I like that.
And, you know, we need to take a lead from the Springboks and see if we can go win a World Cup now.
Definitely. I'll come back to the sporting analogy in just a moment, because there's a lot we can talk about, whether it's racing or surfing. But keeping with the retail investor environment in South Africa, as you say, we've reached the 1 million mark in terms of the customers you have on your books, but there is a lot more growth. What I find so unique about what Easy Equities does is the investor education, the newsletters, the education around what an IPO is, especially on the back of recent listings we had like Boxer and We Buy Cars. And because it's brands that people are very familiar with, there's a heightened level of interest. Is that the secret sauce? What essentially has gotten you to this mark over the last decade?
I think the starting point was making sure everyone had access. Mm-hmm. And fundamentally, that was about fractional shares. You know, how can I afford Naspers when back then it was a 2,000 rand stock and I've only got 10 rand to invest? And so fractional shares created an access point that meant everyone could participate. And I think that bought us the license it gave us the brand that we were kind of the people's brand. We were here to make a difference and let everyone participate. But since then, education has played an incredible role, because as we've stood alongside these investors, one, they're much smarter than we thought they were. You know, they've done exceptionally well. They've outperformed asset managers in almost every category. But their hunger and desire to keep learning surprised us. And so education has been a core pillar of what we do. And I'll give you one example, which was in the last 12 months. You know, crypto is a new and terrifying asset class for some. Mm-hmm. You know, don't understand it and don't invest in anything you don't understand. And we launched a crypto course in April. On the first day of that course, we served 5,500 courses. And it was about a 15 to 20 minute course. And afterwards, there were 15 to 20 questions that you had to answer. And there was over an 80% pass rate of that course. But you just think about the effect just in that one day of 5,500 courses. By the end of the month, we had served over 100,000 courses. And then if you multiply that out over the year and over the decades that come, the effects of education and the compounding effects that's going to have on South Africa, I don't think we can even imagine or describe. But it's going to have lasting and meaningful impacts that fundamentally, in my view, are going to change the fabric of South Africa in the decades ahead.
Is it a generational shift, because millennials and Gen Zs appear to be more engaged, and has technology played an influence there too?
Look, I think, and I don't think it's a case of whether you're rich, poor, young or old. I think our people have people's retirement assets have let them down. Mm-hmm. And so kids have grown up with a disappointing outcome, you know, parents being disappointed by that outcome.
Yeah.
And that's the vast majority of people. And it's not just South African problem. It's kind of a global problem. You look at Europe, they've got a huge problem around pension fund funding.
Oh, yeah.
Because people are living much longer than they expected. So I think there's a heightened awareness that I need to take control of my retirement, my assets for myself. And the enabler for that has been smartphones and internet access and low-cost data and places like Easy Equities. And fundamentally, I think, you know, there's been heightened awareness around this topic. But for the first time, a bridge that says, I've got this heightened awareness, what can I do about it? Well, I'm going to take action and do it for myself.
Mm-hmm. Let's go back to the theme of fractional ownership. So often, Easy Equities is very prominent on social media in terms of education and also gets a lot of backlash and criticism around it too. And there's often this huge ongoing debate around fractional ownership might not be the way to go, and there's some consequences that retail investors need to be made aware of. Take us back to the basics of understanding how it works and how Easy Equities does it specifically within the rules and regulations that exist to protect people's capital.
Yeah, so firstly, you get all of the benefits of ownership.
Yeah.
And obviously, because you don't own the whole share, somebody else has to own the whole share. So we own the whole share. Mm-hmm. And then we fractionalize it to all of the investors that have bought a fraction, which means we always own a part of a company. But to make sure that it's secure, that share is put into a bankruptcy remote vehicle that sits off our balance sheet. Think of it as a trust.
Mm-hmm.
So all of these fractional shares are sitting in a trust that, in the event that something went wrong with the company, and if you look at our financial results, nothing's going wrong, it's all going good.
Yep.
But the bottom line is that these shares are separated off our balance sheet and held on behalf of all of the South Africans that own them. And the interesting part about fractions, because I think when we launched fractions, everyone said it's for poor people, you know, people who can't afford to buy a share. I'll tell you what the interesting insight is. We've got over a million customers. Every single one of them owns fractions. We serve customers between the age of 12 and 99. We serve customers that have hundreds of millions and just 1 rand, and all of them own fractions. And the insight we've taken from it is we all start our journey of investing in something new with small amounts of money.
Yeah.
And so, for example, buying crypto, you know, one Bitcoin was $99,000 just, you know, a few days ago.
Exactly.
So who's got $99,000 lying around? I don't. And so I need to buy a fraction of that. Well, that happens in the share market as well. Berkshire Hathaway is over $100,000. I think it's over $200,000 now. Well, I want to own a bit of what Warren Buffett owns, but I also don't have that lying around. So fractional shares serves everyone regardless of their economic background and allows you to start a journey with safe amounts of money in an asset class you don't fully appreciate or understand.
Yes, very important that that is highlighted, because oftentimes people get lost in the lingo and the terminology and perhaps perspective that's being provided, but you really have democratized access here. If you've just joined us, it's 18 minutes after 7 o'clock. You're listening to Kaya Biz here on Kaya 959 with myself, Gugule Tumfupi. We are in conversation with the CEO of Purple Group. Those are the owners, essentially, of GT247.com, Easy Equities, and the various brands that fall under it, Easy Asset Management, Easy Properties, and Easy Crypto. Charles Savage is my guest in studio. Charles, whenever I speak to you, I always tease you about alternative forms of investment. And you've launched Easy Crypto. There's been Easy Properties. Is there ever going to be an avenue for us to invest in other asset classes if they do exist, especially, you know, wherever that might be?
Yeah. The answer, short answer is yes, for sure. Mm-hmm. What's the one that we're thinking about is venture capital. So,
really?
You know, when I think about venture capital, I've never invested in any venture capital businesses other than the ones that I've started for myself. So, yes. You know, Easy Equities is an example. But I've always had the desire to do it. But the problem is the entry price is high. So, you know, nobody wants 100,000 rand as a starting point or even 10 rand. People want millions of rands to invest in venture capital. And I fundamentally believe if you democratize access to venture capital, you're going to see those businesses grow faster. Because the kind of insight that's come out of Purple Group is that when we started Easy Equity, we had 1,800 shareholders on the JSE. Today, we've got over 150,000 shareholders on the JSE, all retail. Mm. And they're like warriors with your brand. You know, if you're a shareholder in something, you have a sense of ownership that is far greater than a loyalty program can give you. And so they're out there helping us build the business, build the brand, defend us when we need to be defended, shout loudly in our support or clap when we deserve some applause. But venture capital starts a journey with very small number of shareholders. And so they don't have these fans and advocates and brand builders out in the public.
True.
And my proposition is, if we democratize access to venture capital, so to great entrepreneurs in South Africa, I think they'll grow faster. I think they'll attract capital faster and they'll attract customers faster because they have lots of shareholders. And so I'm desperate to do something in the venture capital space. I'm hopeful that we can launch the first venture capital fund next year and make it accessible on Easy Equities. You know, if you read our annual report, it wasn't in there. So it wasn't one of the things that we put down and said we're going to do.
So you're breaking news right now.
Yeah. Look, I've said I'm going to do it for a while now. I'd love to do it. I need to find some space in my diary and do
it. Got you. I find this so refreshing, right? Because whenever we think about private equity, you're quite right. It's very distant. And you only hear about businesses until they're super successful. Whether it's the likes of Sweep South that typically come to mind and the level of support that they get. But that also comes after the investment has taken place and the results have actually been seen. What does that look like, though, from a regulation point of view?
Yeah, so regulatory environments, you know, slightly tougher in that qualified investors. So essentially qualified investors means more sophisticated investors. And sophistication is determined in two ways. One, experience. So you need to show demonstrable evidence, experience, or capital. So it's interesting. A lot of regulators say, so if you've got lots of money, you're very smart. That's not my experience in life. But anyway, the point is that we've got to make sure that we meet the regulatory requirements, which really just means that the documentation that supports this product needs to be much more educational. The man in the street has got to be able to read the document, the IPO document, and understand it intrinsically so that they understand the risk and rewards of investing in this asset class, because it is typically more volatile than shares. And, you know, VC investors call themselves, you know, are happy, not call themselves, are happy with a strike rate of about 3 out of 10, i.e. out of every 10 companies that they invest in, only 3 are successful.
True.
Now, retail's got to get comfortable with the same things. And so we just got to do more work around educating investors about the risk and return profile of entering into venture capital.
Definitely. I focus quite a bit on the Easy Equity space and retail sector environment because that's typically, you know, much of our listenership and our audience. But your business is much bigger and wider than that. You've got GT247. You've also got retirement investments and savings rise that is for everyone. What I'm keen to also discuss here is technology and AI. Over the last few years, we've been hearing a lot about generative AI, what it does mean for the advisory space when it comes to financial services as well as investments. What does that look like within the context of South Africa?
Look, it's a game changer. I mean, we launched our first AI service in August. And essentially, it's a basic service, a partnership with a crowd from Australia.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.